Hey, Nina.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It is now 1:04. I think now would be a good time to get started. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today, and happy Tuesday. Joining our part two of our COVID-19 CPCI mapping deep dive. Today's focus area will be on EHR workflows and how to smoothen the transition into the CPCI reporting. So just to note, this webinar series is brought to you by the New York State HCCN. And I'm Anita Lee, and I work at Chicanes as the program manager in data and technology. I also have with us here today Samuel Barr, who works with the Zara Healthcare technical support team. Sam, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Samuel Barr. I'm the support manager at Zara Healthcare. Previously, I was on the implementation team, and so I'm sure I worked with many of you during your health center's initial CPCI implementation sometime over the past 5 years. But right now, as my role as support manager, I'm also the first recipient of every COVID-19 related ticket that we receive, and I'm here to provide some additional guidance and details around mapping of this data and the potential pitfalls that might come up.
Great, thank you, Sam. So without further ado, this is our agenda for today. We'll just go over quickly some Zoom guidelines, talk a little bit about data processing, tips for smoother report transitions. There will also be time for Q&A that you may have about the presentation, or if you have general technical questions for Sam. And then we'll have some announcements at the end. So for our Zoom today, as many of you have noticed or may have noticed, everyone is muted to prevent background noise. If you have any questions throughout the presentation, feel free to type it in the chat box, and then there'll also be opportunity to ask questions during the Q&As. So this webinar is being recorded and will be made available at a later date. So in thinking about our EHR data and how that gets into the Zara that we see, it might be helpful to think about how it is processed. So data does originate from your health center's EHR, whether it's from eClinicalWorks, Athena Health, NextGen, what have you. So if your EHR information is being self-hosted, it would allow more flexibility in terms of how and when the information reaches the Zara's data warehouse. And then from there, the data would go into the Zara drives that we see. So this is generally the most straightforward approach. However, there are multiple types of configurations depending on how your health center stores your EHR data. So sometimes maybe your patient health information is being hosted by the EHR. And then you would, as the health center, would have to tell their EHR when to release that information into the Azara data warehouse. So in those types of instances, when the information goes from the EHR to the data warehouse is completely out of our control and really up to the EHR. And then you also have your other possibility of having being hosted by a third-party vendor. So and that was the case, and you would have to reach out to your third-party vendor to go into, tell them to send your data or information into the Azara data warehouse so that it can show up on your Azara when you log in. So these are just kind of like a few of the configuration possibilities. There are definitely a lot more, and this is more simplified version of what of how the data is going through. So a lot of times when you're asking questions about why is certain data not as updated as they should be, this configuration may play a role in that. And if you're curious about what and how your health center is being configured, you can ask your internal IT team or send a ticket to the Azara support to see how that's working. So EHR data has to be in Azara by 4 a.m. in order for you to see the changes reflected in your report. So 4 a.m. is your magic number if you would like it to be seen that day. If data is being sent into the Azara warehouse after 4 a.m., then you will likely see the most recent data the day after. So sometimes there are lags in this time frame when your health center is sending it to Azara is really dependent on kind of the slide that I spoke before, how that configuration looks like. And there are also other items and possibilities for lags as well. And this is kind of just a chart of how frequently your reports are being sent to Azara and how frequently the reports are being updated. So if you look at the first column here, your visit planning and your care management passport are generally being updated at least daily. So I put at least daily because it can be once a day, and depending on the configuration that you have and kind of your arrangement with Azara, it could be twice a day. And then now going to the bulk of the reports that we use for this, that we're using for this COVID-19 and telehealth time. So it would be these reports are being sent on a daily basis, so every night. So this includes your dashboards, such as the telehealth expansion and mapping and the visit trends dashboard, your measures, such as your lab volume, patient interaction measures, and lastly, all of your registries, which are all the COVID-19 registries. These should be if there are no issues, these should be updated every night, and you would see it in your Azara when you log in the next day. And lastly, you have your reports that are being updated on a weekly basis. So these are more of your larger reports for larger reporting systems, compliance systems. So this includes your UDS reports, PCMA, CHEDIS, and other types of CQM reports that you may be sending information out to another entity to. So there are, exceptions to this weekly report. And a perfect example of this is kind of during UDS time, UDS season. I'm sure a lot of you are running and mapping reports into your UDS around the UDS time. And it's usually like, end of the year into the beginning of the next year. Then at those instances, the UDS reports would be updated on a more frequent basis. And also, again, it also depends on if you have specific arrangements with Azara on how often your reports are being updated. So these are also all caveats. And before I move on to the next topic, I just wanted to kind of quickly do a short pause and see if there were any questions about data processing that was just gone over, or if Sam, you have anything to add.
No, I think you covered everything quite accurately. I'm happy to answer questions, though we'll keep in mind that any questions about your center's specific configuration are best directed to our support team. Just open an email and send it to support@zarahealthcare.com.
Do we have any questions in the chat?
I don't see any questions in the chat, Anita.
Okay. So, and moving to our next topic. Okay. Just some tips and ideas for a smoother report transition from your EHR to Zara CPCI. First things first, using your Zara mapping tools. We went over this extensively in our last webinar on Thursday. So I'm just going to quickly review. For those of you that have just joined us today, there is a recording of the webinar that you can access. And if you would like access to the recording around data mapping, feel free to let us know in the chat. As we discussed last week, using the mapping administration will go a long way in making the reports fit better to what is indicated in your EHR. So this could be what your health center is considering, qualifying visits or telehealth visits. This can also be accessed through, your mapping admin. So there are also measure validation workbooks, data health reports that you can use and run to check if there are any other mapping errors or anything that may have fallen through the cracks. I just wanted to do a quick poll with everyone, Avery, if you could launch it, just to ask, how often is your health center reviewing your Zara mappings? Okay. So we see a good amount of you have filled out the poll. Thank you very much. And so what I see here is the most people have selected monthly. So most of you are reviewing your Zara mappings on a monthly basis. The second highest, two folks have said weekly and or as needed. So maybe possibly when a new report comes out or if there's something that you need to check. And then there's an other. I'm wondering if for those of you that have said other, what does that entail? How often are you reviewing your Zara mappings if you have selected other?
I can just speak. I was one of the people that selected other. Zara mappings, it seemed like the best choice. Perhaps daily or bi-hourly is more accurate, considering how often they look at the mapping administration on behalf of all your support tickets.
Thank you.
This is Millie. I picked other because I basically started working on a Zara. I had somebody else that was doing it more or less. So now I'm getting into the mapping and all the other features that we're learning how to use at Zara. So before I was just clicking reports and not knowing what they meant.
Mm. Oh, thank you for sharing, Millie.
You're welcome.
So let me just stop sharing. sharing here, and thank you everyone for participating, and then we'll go into our next topic. Okay, so something that you want to start thinking about as you're mapping, and also for the smoother transition from your EHR into CPCI, is that you want to start making connections. Make connections between Zara and your EHR. What do the both of them mean in each item and together? So this is just a matrix of a few of the telehealth and COVID-related mapping categories. Where they're grabbing information from in your EHR. So if you see on your second row, your telehealth encounters, they're connected to your visit types, your CPT and HCPCS codes, and your place of service code. So if you see an X here, that basically indicates that that's something that you can map or your help center can map on your own. And then if you see an asterisk near it, it means that Azar has automatically mapped this, or a support ticket is needed to map this. So if you look at patient interactions, billable encounter, and the UDS face-to-face qualifying visit, all of them are mapped into your EHR the same way using a visit type and or the CPT HCPCS codes. Lab results is the only one that's a little bit different from all the other ones that I have mentioned here, in that they can only be mapped by Azara. So the MOIN codes are automatically mapped into Azara based on what shows up on your EHR. But also if you want to start naming or mapping through lab names, you would have to create a ticket with Azara to let them know what the lab name is. And it's really best to provide a patient example of a screenshot of a patient example where this lab name is being used.
Oh, okay.
Only thing I'll add is, the UDS face-to-face qualifying visit is also only mappable by Azara. Though centers can view their mappings in the mapping administration, you are not able to make changes in the mapping administration.
Good to point out. Thank you. And then for your last two, for appointment status, those are based off your visit statuses that you have in your EHR. And lastly, your service line is based off staff specialty. So I just want to note that the EHR columns or that I've used here, the terminology that I've used here is somewhat different from your specific EHR, but you should be able to make some parallels there. Okay. Just wanted to add a note about the telehealth and telephonic visits. So telehealth in Azara is currently inclusive of both audio only and audio visual in the measures. Just kind of wanted, for those of you that are interested in kind of seeing some, there's a way to some distinction possibilities. I just put up some here that you can try out, but these are filters that are based on how you have input or are documenting a telehealth and or telephonic visits in your EHR. So for example, if you have a different visit type or encounter type in your EHR that separates for telephonic, 10 minutes telephonic, 15 minutes, what have you, and then telehealth for audiovisual, like 15 minutes and then, or 10 minutes or what have you, then you can definitely make those distinctions there using the encounter type filter in your patient interaction measures. Sometimes you may also have providers that are only providing audio only visits or vice versa. So these are also kind of some possibilities that you can think about filtering or using if you really want to kind of separate out those telehealth and telephonic visits at the moment. Okay. So you want to regularly update your EHR. So these are just a few examples, your ICD-10 codes, your HCPCS codes, CPT codes, your LOINC codes, immunization, CVX codes. So if these codes don't exist in your EHR, then it's likely that Azara is unable to map them because they're unable to find it. So perfect example of this would be the current COVID pandemic. So as a result of this, there have been a lot of new ICD codes, CPT codes, LOIN codes that were created for the COVID pandemic, which I'm sure wasn't previously used before, but now your providers are probably using on a more often basis.
And I'll add, I haven't seen it in too many situations, but we have seen a couple situations where in the rush to create data for this type of reporting, particularly COVID-19, before ICD-10 codes were released specific to COVID-19, some EHR vendors and perhaps administrators used custom descriptions for standard ICD-10 codes. And so they might use an ICD-10 code for other diagnoses and then give it a description of COVID-19. And as much as I understand why that might have been done at the time, because you know there is this quick rush to document things, just be aware that Azara cannot map code descriptions, only the codes themselves.
Thank you for that. And then this is just a side note for the ECW users out there, because just kind of in order to update your LUNG and CVX codes, you want to go to your admin and then content distribution. And if you are looking to update your ICD-10 and CPT codes, you want to go into your report console. And if you do plan on loading up new codes, sometimes there may be new codes that are non-COVID related. You do want to load these during off hours, as it can affect the performance of your ECW application for your front end users. Oh. A little bit sensitive. So, and also you want to use structured data. So this is important and helpful, not just for Azara's reporting system, but for any type of reporting system that you may be using. Using structured data as much as possible is the most helpful for this. So, and you know, avoiding free text. So what this includes is your templates, your order sets, your multiple choice questionnaires, whether it's for patients. I just have an example here of a template for diet and exercise. Sometimes your health center may be using it to fulfill a certain standard or a certain measure for the BMI and weight and counseling measure, which is a UDS measure, might be something that you want to use this type of template for. So the idea is if you haven't told Azara about that this is what you're using for counseling, then they are unable to look for it or know where it exists in your EHR. And kind of to the same vein, talking about workflow changes that your health center may be going through. So just please note, this is not an exhaustive list. And when you make any workflow changes, such as adding a new visit type or provider specialties, you do want to make sure that you are first mapping these in your mapping admin and kind of making these changes. It's also helpful, definitely, to notify Azara support for any workflow changes as well. So this would include if you've added a new facility or if there are new lab names. So I know that some lab companies that you may be interfacing with use, let's say, first they use this hash A1C, and then you have that mapped to Azara, but then now, the test changed slightly. So now they're calling it asterisk A1C. So Azara doesn't know to automatically add that in. It would be most helpful to kind of, again, put a patient example of this and then, patient example of them, of this lab using that specific lab name and then to map that kind of moving forward. Also, and kind of what I said previously, new templates that are using or changes in templates and or order sets that you're using, it would also be good to notify, like, oh, okay, this is what we're using to satisfy this measure moving forward, and then to map it into your measures. And this last one that's a little more rare, doesn't happen to too often is having, if you're doing, going through a EHR migration, you're changing your EHR altogether. That's a completely new mapping altogether or implementation process. Okay. And also, you also want to make sure that you know the reports that you're running and to see if it is indeed fulfilling the criteria that you're looking for. So amongst the COVID and telehealth reports, they are either patient-based, such as your registries that you see here, or encounter-based, visit trends, patient interaction, and or lab-based. So COVID-19 lab measures. So really the biggest difference between the three is first how it's being put and going into Azara, but also seeing whether or not a patient is showing up in any of these types of reports. So the biggest thing to kind of the takeaway really is a patient in a registry would only show up once. So and their patient name won't show up once in, not just registered, but any patient-based reports. Whereas your encounter-based reports, a patient may show up multiple times. So for example, if they saw behavioral health for one visit, and then next week they went to see medical for another visit, then they would show up in your encounter-based reports multiple times. So in your visit trends, they would definitely show up multiple times as well. So for your same with your lab-based reports, if your provider has done maybe a nasal COVID lab test and then an oral COVID test, then this patient will also show up multiple times on your lab-based measures. Oh. Sam, I know you were paying attention to a lot of this and had a lot of questions about this. I just wanted to make sure if you wanted to kind of add something or.
No, you got it perfectly there. This often confuses people because they'll see patients multiple times in the COVID-19 labs measure. It is a lab-based measure, and so if there are multiple test results with the COVID-19 white code, we would show it in there. We are working on a patient-based measure to kind of eliminate these seemingly duplicate patients, but it's not yet available.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. And then kind of continuing on with know the reports that you're running. So one thing to keep in mind are your dashboards, your scorecards. So these are a combination of widgets using sometimes different measures or some different measures, or sometimes it's a combination of the same measure but using different filters. So if you want to know kind of more about what these what your dashboard or scorecard is, you can always go to this I button. But if you're noticing that for specific widgets, something looks a little bit off, something looks a little bit funny, you can definitely go into that, click on the widget name, and you would go into that particular measure to see what's going on. So here, so if you had clicked at one of those measures or one of those widgets, then you would be able to see, go into that, and then it'll go into the page, a new page with that measure with the filters on, so which is added bonus. And then you can click on this I button to see, oh, if this is where the issue is coming from, you can take a look. Oh, is this measure really showing what I think it's showing? Is it parallel to my understanding of what it should be showing? So when you click on the I button, I'm sure many of you have done this kind of, then you see what is inclusive to the measure, looking at your numerators, your denominators, or any exclusion factors that may be in this report. So I would note that not all measures have a denominator and or exclusion factor. The patient interactions measure is a perfect example of this, where they only have a numerator. And also looking at your patient investigation tool. So this is a demo environment, so all these patients here are not actual patients. But if you want to look into a measure more deeply, you can look at the detail list and the value set. So I spoke about value sets at length at last week's presentation. So I'll forego explaining again, but I'll focus a little bit more on the detail list where it shows you a list of all the patients that show up for this measure, if they're in the denominator, if they're in the numerator, and also would show patients that were excluded. So one thing that I do want to bring your attention to is this patient investigation tool that you can access once you click on the detail list tab. So when you click on that detail list tab and click on measure investigation tool, you can input the MRN of the patient that in question, and then you'll be able to see whether or not the patient is in the denominator, in the numerator, excluded, and also an explanation of why they showed up there. So this is particularly helpful. Let me go back to see. So this patient, this is a cervical cancer screening example where this patient is female and is 56. So it fits the criteria for what is showing here. And then this, and here next numerator, no. And then why is no? Because right now Azara for this patient is not seeing a pap test. And then this is at this point where you're doing kind of a little more detective work per se, and going into your EHR to double check, is this really as Azara says it is, there is no pap test. And if you look into your measure, look into your patient in the EHR and you do see a lab for a pap test, then that's when you kind of go back and say, what went wrong? Maybe the mapping is different, and maybe kind of like what I was previously saying, the lab name is different, so you would need it to be remapped into the system for it to be counted towards this measure. So before I move on, is there any questions about what I have gone over?
We have a question from Emily Oppenheimer. It says, what does TY and TY March 2020 stand for in the last slide? I think it stands for transitional year, but
TY generally stands for trailing year. Okay. So the last 12 months, so March in the last 12 months.
Also, do we know when Azara will add 2020 UDS logic?
I can say we'll add 2020 UDS logic when 2020 UDS logic is created by HRSA, right? We can't update specifications before the specifications have been created. That being said, I do know that CMS recently released an update to the hypertension blood pressure control measure, which is one of the UDS measures, and that update specifically called out the use of remote cuffs. So for patients who are having a telehealth visit, if they have a web-enabled blood pressure cuff, those readings will now be acceptable for the 2020 version of that measure. So as those updates come out, we will be updating our measure logic and kind of rolling through it that way. The hypertension blood pressure control measure has not yet been updated to that standard. That new specification just came out this week.
We also have another question. In the prior version of Drives, you were able to access the measure investigation tool from the measure analyzer screen. Now you must be in the patient detail list. Was there a reason for this change?
No specific reason. When we updated to the new version of the application, that is just where it was placed. We know that this is a commonly requested item, and I know engineering is working on adding a button to the measure analyzer screen itself.
Thank you.
No. Are there any other questions, Avery, or?
There's another clarification about the HRSA. There's a link that people can look at afterwards, but I think you're good to continue.
Okay. So, Okay, if there aren't any further questions, just want to refer everyone to the help documentation page. It shows up on right by your initials. If there are additional videos here, the quick tip clips I find to be particularly helpful. There's also other documents and also recordings from previous webinars that Zara has put up that that are also useful as well that you can access through here. And lastly, if all else fails, you can always open a support ticket. So there are, in support portal, so there are kind of multiple options. Sometimes there's, if you have an issue, then you would select that particular ticket. And then sometimes there's also a questions ticket where it's just kind of like you're just inquiring about something. And before we close for today, so I just want to go over some quick announcements. So next Thursday will be our third and final part of this three-part series of this COVID-19 CPCI mapping deep dive. So next Thursday, we will be focusing on registries for COVID and post-COVID care management. And the time will be the same as today. Thursday is from 1 to 2. I just wanted to let everyone know that Chicanes is also offering training and technical assistance to health centers on diabetes and cardiovascular disease prevention and control. And if anyone here is interested, feel free to contact Sophie Katz. Her email is listed here. And lastly, if you would like any of the latest news on COVID-19 and or the help center guidance around it, you can go to chicanes.info for more information. Okay. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for today. I do want to, if there aren't any further questions, we can conclude today's presentation. So I would encourage everyone that you have about 20 minutes left before 2, that if you haven't already, to use this time to start mapping your Zara, if you haven't started already, if you haven't started already, to use this time to do so. And I'll also stay on for a few more minutes if there are any additional questions. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Samuel, are you still there?
I am.
Hey, this is Emily. I was the one with the questions about the UDS 2020 measures. This is my first year working on UDS, so it's new to me too. But I have the list that HRSA approved, so I didn't know if I should be waiting. And so we are ready to move forward looking at UDS 2020, but I didn't know if there's something else that you're waiting on that I didn't know it ought to be waiting on.
So I think there's a big difference between what's called a program assistance letter and the actual manual. HRSA has come out with the program assistance letter for 2020.
Okay.
Them saying, these are the things we want to change.
Right.
From those of us who have done many years of UDS reporting, we recognize that there is often a lot that differs between what's in the program assistance letter and what's in the final manual.
Got it.
I think this year is going to be particularly important because the assistance letter, I just looked it up, came out on February 12th. And as we all know, the community health center world kind of changed into late February, early March. So I think what is in that program assistance letter might cover some of the changes that will eventually occur, but is by no means going to be the actual text of the manual. That's why Azar waits till the manual comes out in its totality. But we do wait for the various measure stewards that HRSA relies on, as well as HRSA itself, to provide us much more concrete guidance before we go and change or implement any new measures.
Okay, that makes sense. And so the program assistance letter is sort of a a direction, a predicted direction, but it's not a formal green light to go in and change all your logic quite yet.
Exactly. And I think this year in particular, there's going to be quite a bit of daylight between the PAL and the final manual because of all the changes with telehealth and COVID-19.
Right. Okay. Got it. So I guess I'll learn more. I know HRSA is doing a webinar on UDS 2020 next week. So hopefully I'll learn more.
Yeah. I think that will be very helpful and interesting for all of us in this space to kind of hear their thoughts of where they think things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. And then from my end, as far as our use of Azara, it was used many years ago and now we're starting to use it again, but we do have our own internal data warehouse, but we're trying to move because we offer a lot of other services at our organization. But for our purposes, for as FQHCs, we really want to be able to just quickly use Azara. I think it's a really powerful tool, but it sounds like our mappings are not, from according to our IT, our mappings are not aligning. So he's going to reach out to you all to try to get clarity and to align our mappings a little better. Is there anything else you recommend as far as understanding how the mappings are going to work between, we use ECW.
Sure. Yeah. So I think the core component of any mapping conversation is patient examples. It's really hard for us in support, as Anita was kind of laying out at the beginning, it's really hard for us in support to do anything constructive from a ticket that comes in and says, update our mappings, right? Like, we don't know what to do.
Right.
And I know it's a little painstaking, but to go and give us patient examples of this patient had a diabetic eye exam in this state, but is not reflected in Azara, data element is really the most concrete way. Using tools such as the patient visit planning report, which is a daily list of these are the appointments and the services these patients needed.
Yeah.
Clinical registries, both of those cover lots of data in one go. And even though you might be focused on the UDS depression screening measure, it's the same data elements as the visit planning report, registries. So by validating those reports, you're actually also updating the mappings for the UDS measures.
Oh, okay. And to get to that, so if I'm in Azara, I'm just taking advantage. I know we have a little bit more time if you don't mind.
Sure.
Kind of personal or like specific questions to our organization, but okay. So if I'm in Azara and I go to like press the little green A, how would I get to the patient planning?
Patient visit planning is abbreviated as PVP on the left-hand menu.
Okay, got it.
Now the PVP as a tool is typically where most of our users spend their time since it shows by provider the appointment scheduled for today and what the patients need. That may or may not be as helpful now as it once was, given that so many of their appointments are happening as telehealth. And so I think there are some interesting conversations to be had as how that tool can get used in these new worlds that we're living in. Some of the alerts lend themselves to telehealth better than others. For example, you can totally do a depression screening remotely. It's a little hard to do an A1C check.
Yeah, definitely.
But that doesn't make the report any less valid as far as showing whether a patient is in compliance or not for a given service or what the most recent date of a given service was. Whether or not the appointment's actually going to occur in person, the alert and the data they contain is still valid and very useful for validation if you're trying to see across the board what data is being picked up correctly and what is not.
I see. Okay. And so kind of looking through what kind of cross-referencing what we have in our EMR versus what's coming up on that PVP could be really informative as to what needs to be remapped.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. And showing examples.
Sorry.
Oh, and then sharing those examples with someone from Azara.
Exactly. Yeah. So by using the PVP as that starting point, you're not only looking at specifics of the mappings and the workflows that are used, but it's already guiding you and getting you an example so that when you submit the support ticket, you say, here is the issue for this patient, as opposed to there's a broad issue with pap smears. My advice is also, as you submit these tickets, try to keep each ticket focused on one data element. So You might have three different ways a pap smear is documented. So that's suitable to be in one support ticket, but you wouldn't want to mingle pap smears with mammograms in the same support ticket. It just increases the likelihood that our support technician thinks they've solved the issue, but they've only solved one of five issues in the list, and it's a little harder to keep track of.
Got it. Okay. And then bigger picture, if we wanted to kind of look at what Azara is pulling from our EMR for 2019 UDS versus what we found through our internal data warehouse, that from what I understand, my IT feels more comfortable with right now, but I kind of want to shift that. So if we were to want to compare those, would we go to the dashboard for UDS? We're only adult serving, so would we go to dashboard for UDS adult?
If you want to compare the aggregate numbers, yes, that's definitely a good spot to start.
Okay.
I would encourage you to use the UDS 2019 CQM scorecard, though, because...
Oh, where's that?
So you can either search for it under search or click on reports on the left-hand side, and then UDS, and then UDS 2019 CQMs.
Okay.
Suggest the scorecard is often the percentage result is the same, but you might be at 50% compliance, and 50% equals 50%. But what's more important is seeing the numerator and denominators, so that 100 out of 200 isn't considered to be okay when your EHR is reporting 500 out of 1,000.
Okay, I see. And then for this, so right now my period is still trailing year, April 2020, so I would need to change it just to year 2019?
Correct, yep.
Okay, cool. Oh, and then you can set the baseline so that you know what the comparison, oh, that's very cool. Okay, just kind of learning how to use it. So, all right, cool. So let me start with kind of the bigger picture and then start to look at the day-to-day differences in the PVP, and hopefully we can like kind of come up with the different elements that we want to remap and take it piece by piece. And that would be great.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
We also have a question from Amy Pease. Would you like to unmute yourself, Amy?
I think I did. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, so I've been tasked with having to map, and I've been working with Anita and some of the Azara folks intimately. One of the recent things I've had is, I'm going to share my screen. I am not able to figure out how to unmap providers from provider group. So for example, we have our medical group here, and we have multiple behavioral health providers within the medical group. And so for appropriateness of reporting, we need to get them moved, and I don't know how to do it.
It should just be click and drag. So you should be able to click on the name on the right side, which is the list, and bring it to the left side, which is the available.
Okay, so click and drag.
That would be my guess. Let's hopefully it snaps. Yep, there you go.
She's gone. Okay, fantastic. See, thank you.
Glad it was easy.
Thank you, Amy. Are there any other Are there any other additional questions? Okay. Doesn't seem like there's any, I don't see any other additional questions in the chat, whether it's to specific people or to the group. But thank you again, everyone, for joining us. And thank you, especially thank you to Sam for joining us as well and answering all of these fun technical questions.
Yeah, happy to help out. I look forward to seeing some of your support tickets come through in the coming days.
Have a good day, everyone, and stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.